Recording this. I want to thank Jennifer Phillips from Keshet in Chicago, who has stepped up to be our chair of this group. And so thank you. You
know, of course.
Coordination. We have another chair on this group that just started of our clinical services. Hi, Elaine Rotenberg.
From Lisa Smith. Hi, so, Lisa.
Hi. So Jennifer, you can take it away. And if you all can mute yourselves, while you're not talking, that could be helpful. And then
so hi, I'm Jen Phillips, and I am the CEO of Keshet. For those of you who don't know about our organization, it was started about 38 years ago by a group of parents, and with the basis of inclusion and really being part of a community. And so our programs that started in camps and recreation to our therapeutic day school kind of evolved. And then soon we were serving adults in our adult day program. And then there was a time for us to be able to serve our adults who needed residential. So it's kind of how we evolved to where we are today. We serve still a population of families from the age of 3 to forever now. And so residential has become a huge focus in our organization. It is certainly something that in Illinois, there's not enough beds and not enough homes for individuals with disabilities and adults. And so we really wanted to do what we said we were going to do, which is serve our families for a lifetime and forever. And so that's kind of how we got to where we're at. I've been with the organization for 28 years. I started myself as just a counselor in our day camps and pretty much have worked in every part of our organization. So even though we're in a phase where we're still learning about residential, we've really immersed ourselves in the community, and we're really lucky that we're kind of part of our federation, which has a group of adult programs that work together, serving individuals in residential placements and adult programs. And so we've learned a lot along the way, and we're hoping that this group will allow us to kind of learn from each other and see what is happening around the country. And also be able to help, you know, with just supporting each other. So that's really what I feel this group is going to be and about. What I think will be really nice if we can go around now, talk about yourselves, individually, your agencies, and also give a little bit about what you're expecting and want to get out of this group. I think that will be a way for us to be able to look at how we're going to, you know, coordinate people coming on and talking to us, or how we are going to be able to have an agenda for our meetings. I certainly don't want to just come on and talk about what I want to talk about. I want to hear what you guys want and where you're looking at getting some support. So I'm going to go through my Brady Bunch list. I'm going to ask David to go first, if that's okay.
Okay, I'm unmuted. Hi, good afternoon, everyone. I'm David Guthridge, Director of Affordable Housing for CJE Senior Life. CJE Senior Life is an organization that positions itself to provide assistance, help, to seniors. We have quite a variety in our portfolio. We have 5 senior independent housing buildings. One of them is a group home of 24 residents. One is as large as 150 residents. We have Holocaust survivors in our buildings. We have Holocaust community services who specifically is geared to assist those in our buildings and also throughout the Chicago community, about 2,000 people. We also have a large assisted living facility in Deerfield. We have a large long-term nursing facility in Skokie. We have community services, service coordinators, what's really heartwarming about this agency is when I hit a brick wall of observing a problem with residents, a challenge with residents, and really can't cross the line as a landlord because of civil rights or just it's independent housing and, you know, hands off. This is their home. This is independent housing. I can ask the person, I see that you're struggling. Would you like some help? I know people within the organization who might be able to take this on for you. Would you like to speak to someone? And we're working every day, especially now with the pandemic, on identifying and improving our handoffs, especially with the social workers. We're all working through filters now. I'm one of the few who's coming in along with my maintenance team at the buildings, but most everyone else is working remotely. We also have a significant amount of Russian-speaking residents who are in their mid to late 70s, all the way up to 100, who are immigrants from former Soviet Union. And I'll have to share with everyone that during this experience, the Holocaust survivors, even though there's many triggers that can happen with them, and the immigrants from Soviet Russia, they're the toughest. They're the ones who are handling everything the best and not having their daily meltdowns and having to call and are causing challenges for other residents. So I've been in my role since just July. I followed on the heels of just a brilliant, wonderful person who was in this role for 21 years, Linda Kaplan, who continues to reach out and be a wonderful coach for me. I came to the role after 26 years with Aramark as a facilities, professional facilities manager. And so thankfully I've had that experience with logistics and with just the older buildings that we have to deal with and just making sure that everything's functioning and residents first and focusing on them. Apologize if I ramble. I'm not talking to many people these days, so it's a good, this is a nice opportunity to share. Thank you.
You have to unmute. Yep. That's
Bernadette, you're next.
Hi, I'm Bernadette Gizmonde. I work for Jewish Family and Children's Services in Southern New Jersey in Cherry Hill. We actually are opening up a residential facility, and I'm going to defer to let Barb speak about the agency. She's been with the agency much longer than I have. I am only with the agency for about 6 or 7 months. My background is in residential, so I've worked in the field of developmental disabilities for
we can't hear
longer
you
longer than I want to think about, but probably sorry.
Bernadette, your broadband is not working right now.
Can you hear? Everybody's frozen. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I hear you, but go ahead. Continue.
Okay.
Let's see.
Yeah, I'll just keep it quick. Basically, you know, what am I looking for out of this group? Really just as a resource group, you know, helping with all of the different scenarios that come up, specifically the pandemic.
Yes. Uh-huh. So we got to get to that for sure. So who's next? Should I just call on people, Jen, or do you want to? You just got to unmute.
Yeah. Andrea.
Hi. I'm Andrea Cohen. I am the Director of Admissions at Levin Jewish Residential Service, which is affiliated with Alpert. And you'll see we have my colleagues are on this call too, which is really nice for me. I'm not accustomed to having company from Florida here. I think in my position as admissions director, what I'm looking forward to gaining is some networking, learning from others. There's a good portion of our population that we're not serving, and if there's a way to do it better within the constraints, the financial constraints that we're under, we'd certainly like to learn more about it. As far as our program that I've been with the agency for about 12 years. I volunteered and I've been working in this position for 10. We have the director of our independent living program, her independent supported living program on the call, as well as the director of our group homes, and of course our clinical director. So I'm the first contact. I screen them and then we determine as a committee where the people go. It's tough to get in our programs because we consider it a lifetime commitment, and we want to make the right decision for the client, you know, and the group that we have. So any kind of networking and learning that I can do from my peers is valuable. You might want to hear from my colleagues now in the call.
Yep, absolutely. Okay. So Lisa Brodsky, you're the next one in the box.
Hi, thanks for having me. My name is Lisa Brodsky. I'm the CEO of Community Homes for Adults in Dallas, Texas. And we are the only provide residential housing to folks with intellectual disabilities in the 5 contiguous states. So it's the states that touch Texas and Texas. We're the only one that's under Jewish auspices. So to be a part of this group, I've been on calls with Lisa before, but I'm glad to be a part of this group. I think the networking and the Jewish part of it is super important to me. We currently have a housing task force that is meeting and a quality care task force to figure out how to grow and be better. And, you know, unfortunately in the great state of Texas, we're 47th worst in the country in terms of Medicaid reimbursement. So we haven't had any increases in our Medicaid daily rate since 2010. So it's a
we're pretty bad too. I know.
We're wonderful fundraising opportunity. So thank you.
What would you like to get out of being in the group, in the affinity group?
It's just the networking of the Jewish professionals in the country. Okay. And I've been here. It'll be 7 years. Okay. In August.
Great. Barbara.
Hello. As Bernadette began by saying, we work for the same agency. I'm the director of special needs programs at the agency, and I've been here for 20 years. So what we've done over the years is we've always focused on working with adults after high school in the areas of employment, social rec, as well as day programming, and always with the dream of having a residential program to complement that. Well, that dream was coming true this year. It's been a long time in the making, and literally, I think the Friday before we were told to close down in New Jersey, we had the Office of Licensing come out, and we were like that close to getting our license from the Division of Developmental Disabilities, and then everything closed down. So we're almost there. We basically built a mixed population residential program. It's for low-income seniors and individuals with developmental disabilities in garden apartment-type living, 25% individuals with DD and 75% are seniors. So we're staffed. I mean, Bernadette's the director of that program, was hired on to do that. And from this group, we're really looking to learn from you. I mean, this is new for us, you know, to be able to have resources and names and places that we might be able to reach out to should questions come up, which we know they will during the course of our opening up our programs.
Great. Lauren, my colleague.
Hi, everyone. My name is Lauren Feldman, and as Jen mentioned, I work for Keshet in our My Life residential program. I'm the manager. We have 3 homes for adults with disabilities. And well, our third one also was set to open officially right as all of this pandemic stuff started. But as soon as we're including our third house in our reentry plan, so they will officially open then. Very exciting. I worked for Keshet for the years 2008 through two, or 2007 through 2012 as a paraeducator, a camp director. I did my student teaching at Keshet, and I was very thankful for all the experience that I gained there in my young years of, or my early years of being a professional. And then I went to the south side of Chicago to serve their community as a dean of special education. And then in the middle of 2019, came back to Keshet to manage our residential program. I have learned so much in the past 10 months, and I'm so thankful to be part of the organization, especially has come to light during this very difficult time, and just feel so supported by the team and what we've been able to put out there for our residents, even virtually. What I hope to gain from being part of this affinity group is networking, and also hoping to share resources, and just trying to innovate and move forward and make every day great.
Awesome. Okay, Wesley.
Okay. My name is Wesley Skirvin. I'm the group home director for Albert Jewish Family and Children's Services, the arm of Levine Jewish Residential in West Palm Beach, Florida. I have been with the organization for 10 years, and I have almost 20 years experience in the field. I ran a group home company in Minnesota prior to this, and also worked for Hazelden Center for Youth and Families with chemically dependent youth before that. The thing that I really hope to get out of this group is just suggestions. I just want to know kind of what other people are doing in light of the recent pandemic, and what you guys are doing with your folks, you know, outside of the current situation we have. I'm just hoping to learn from each other. And just kind of get some suggestions, because I know the way I do things, and you know, I think they're great, but I can always learn more, and I can always change, and that's really helpful, because you know, I'm out in the field all day, and I don't get to interact with many folks who work for other organizations. So I'm just really proud to represent our group home staff, and hopefully be able to pass on some of my knowledge and gain some extra knowledge from all of you.
For sure. Okay, Elaine.
I will unmute me. Hi, I'm Elaine Rosenberg. I'm the clinical director in West Palm Beach. I've been there 28 years. And we've been in the residential business for about 27 years with the group homes that Wes runs, the admissions that Andrea does, and the apartment program that Manson does that he'll be able to tell you a little bit more about. And I really am a big proponent of continuity of care and building residential programs that have a very strong continuum in terms of people's needs and their level of functioning, which we've really tried to do, and to integrate it with the other services that are part of one's Jewish Family Service agency, in our case, for example. So seeing people with disabilities as not just individuals with disabilities, but they all come with families and situations and other things, and just whatever information we can gain and offer to share in terms of like bumps along the way that maybe we can, you know, kind of help and integrate with others. And I do have one question, which I promised a board member I would get an answer for before the end of today's meeting. I'm just going to throw it out there, which is, of those of you that have group homes, Jewish group homes, are they all kosher group homes?
Ours are.
Raise your hand.
I don't need the answer to that. What?
I said raise your hand if they're kosher. Okay.
Raise your hand if they're not kosher, your group homes. Do you have a group home that's not kosher?
We have one cell that's not kosher.
So it's split.
It's four not kosher, three kosher.
Four not, three kosher.
Four not, three kosher. Four not, three, yes.
Not an answer I was hoping for, but okay, I don't have a pony in the race particularly. So four not, three yes. Thank you for the answer.
Yeah, of course.
I guess, yeah.
All right, we got Holly.
There's a bigger discussion around that perhaps someday, but.
Yeah, because we can probably have a really good discussion around that. We would love that. Lots of good discussions to be had. All right, Holly, sorry.
Hi, no, I'm Holly McCarthy. I work at Jewish Family and Children's Service in Boston. We serve 68 individuals in our residential program. We have six houses that are 24/7 supports. Two of those six are kosher, just for that information.
Interesting.
Two of the six are kosher.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Yep. And about half of our residents are Jewish. And the two houses that are kosher were obviously, you know, driven by the individuals keep kosher and when they moved in, you know, all of that jazz. Our funding comes from the state, so the Department of Developmental Services is what it's called over here in Massachusetts. We do accept some private pay funding in our individual supports program. We own one building with about 16 apartments in it, some single and double two-bedroom apartments for folks. So some of that is funded by the state as well. You know, I think what I'm looking, you know, forward to from this group is just, again, kind of sharing resources and networking with other agencies and just hearing ideas, you know, obviously, you know, COVID specific and then just not COVID specific, just kind of best practices and all of that. So.
Awesome. Thanks, Holly.
So, Jen, I want to get Melissa Da Silva to introduce herself just because, she just left.
Is she on the phone?
We had to go to another meeting. Okay. I guess she didn't hear me say that. I tried. Okay. There she is. Melissa. Can you hear us?
There she is. She's gotten back on. Melissa, do you want to go?
Hi, Melissa Da Silva, Director of Intellectual and Developmental Disability Services for Jewish Family and Career Services of Atlanta. We've got several programs, including a community residential alternative program with seven group homes. And I have.
Yeah, we're losing you.
I think we
lost you, Melissa, for a minute.
COVID-19, our health safety precautions of like entities.
Melissa, we can't really understand you. You're going in and out with your audio. I'm not sure it's going to work.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it.
Maybe you can write in the chat what you're telling us now. That would be terrific because I know you have to leave at 3:30.
Perfect. So Okay. Maybe we'll move on to Manzun. You have to unmute yourself.
Okay. Thanks. Hi. My name is Matt Marshall. I'm here with Average Jewish Residential Family Services here in West Palm Beach, Florida. I am the apartment program director. Dr. Elaine and Wes, we work closely together. I oversee the apartment program for our agency. Our apartment program provides support for independent living with adults with various disabilities, including chronic mental and disabilities, severe learning disorder as well. I've been with the company now, just turned 17 years, April the 23rd. I've been in this field going on 25 years. I have worked in the group homes for this agency as well. What I'm looking to get out of this is more information on how other Jewish residential is running their facilities and working with their residents to enhance our life of our residents as well. I have 20 residents that live alone in their own apartments out in a community of about 500 other people. And we provide 24/7 support for them, which at night we have a respite room that we also have a staff man for the overnight for anything that may come up that their needs. We don't get any funding from the state. The apartment program is strictly private pay. So this, I hope to get some valuable information moving forward for our agency as well as working with you guys.
Great. Thank you. Wesley?
We talked to Wesley.
Oh, we did. Oh, he moved around.
He did. He moved.
AY.
Hello.
Who we know each other, by the way.
Yes. A long time ago. AY Weinberg Project Extreme, which I deal with troubled teenagers. And I have a home in Brooklyn for girls over 18 who have suffered through trauma and abuse. And that is a kosher home. And we have a residential therapeutic school in Minnesota for teenagers. And I'm looking for resources and a lot of anxiety that these teenagers are having during this pandemic, and looking to help them any way that I can.
Awesome. And then we have someone who's on
the phone. Hold on. Did AY say what he wanted to get out of this group? What do you want to?
Yeah.
Oh, you did? I didn't get it. Sorry.
Resources and also dealing with a lot of the anxiety.
Oh, the anxiety. Uh-huh. Okay. Okay. Thank you.
And then we have someone who's on the phone with a
phone. Hi there.
Okay, great.
Oh, sorry. I was trying to log on earlier through Zoom, and for some reason it wasn't launching. So I apologize that I had to call in. But my name is Ashley. I'm from JCFS Chicago. We serve 16 individuals in our Stilla homes, so four homes located out in the community. I've been working with the agency for a little over 3 years. What I'm trying to get out of this would have to be just like everyone else, just networking, resources, suggestions, and just learning opportunities.
Great.
Oh, and I did want to mention that three out of four are kosher homes. We have one home that is not kosher.
And we have some of our team members at Gadol and some of our Keshet participants who live in some of your homes and have been participating in a lot of our Zoom programs, which is really nice.
Yes, and it's been such a big hit.
Yeah.
It's been amazing, yes. It definitely keeps them busy. It keeps structure, routine, which is great, needed, especially time like now. So yes, it's definitely very valued.
So yeah, it's been nice. It's been nice. So, you know, it's really nice to hear from everyone. I think that, you know, we all are looking kind of for the same thing, right? We want to be able to network with each other, but also just get different resources from each other. And I think just, you know, between state by state, that looks different, which is really nice because, you know, here in Illinois, we kind of, you know, we're 48th in the country for services for individuals with disabilities and funding. And so it's always nice to see what is going on outside of Illinois. You know, we're moving further to this side of having more of person-centered planning and all of the resources of, you know, living on your own a little bit more and not necessarily having these big, as we call them, SILAs or group homes. So I think it's going to be really nice to be able to, you know, learn from each other that way. I wanted to throw out there, currently, do you guys have any of your homes that are closed because of COVID? Anyone? No. So we're in a unique situation where, you know, we have three residential homes, one which was we were transitioning to open now, but we have no residents living in any of our homes. So, you know, we have families who are pretty involved and they had the choice to either leave their kids in the home but wouldn't be able to see them or take their kids home. And all of them chose to take their children home. So we're kind of in a different situation right now where we're going to be having to relaunch our homes. And so that's what we're spending a lot of time now processing, what is happening safety-wise within the homes and what that looks like. And has anyone had anyone test positive in their homes at all? No? Thank God.
Wow.
That's pretty good.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So I don't know if anyone wants to kind of share how they've been able to handle keeping residents safe and staff safe and what that looks like. And if you'd be willing to share with the group some of those processes and procedures and stuff that you have into place. If anyone wants to talk. No?
No, they'll talk. Someone will say something.
Yeah. I mean, we shut down pretty early, so I think that helped. And we kind of stopped sending our residents to their day programs. We stopped going to any non-essential doctor's appointments, and we also stopped having outside folks come in the home other than our critical staff. So I think that's been a real key in helping helping it stay out of the home. We've also been having like hand washing classes so that which is something we kind of do anyway, but it's especially, every day, let's, practice, the hand washing, for those who have a little trouble with that. So I think that's been really important. We're getting groceries delivered now instead of sending someone to the store to come in contact with all those folks. So it's been really great to see all of our staff kind of pulled together, and all of our staff are also taking this really seriously, which has been a huge help. I can't imagine having staff who thought this was not a big deal and were going out and doing their thing and then coming into the home. So that's been really probably the biggest part of our success, is the responsibility of our staff in their personal lives.
That's really nice. Yeah. It's crazy how everyone's kind of come together in a time where, is obviously uncertain for everyone. A time where, people panic, and we have staff who are, going through their own stuff. And it's been really nice, even on our end, to see everyone come together and really that we're all in this together as a partnership. And I know our staff is looking forward to getting back into the homes and into our day programs. And so, as we're, working on these plans, we're making them part of it, which is really good.
Right. Jennifer, I would imagine that you've got a lot of questions in terms of that whole reentry thing, because, you've got people who've not been living in your group home, and now they've been with family.
Yeah.
And they're coming back to your group home. And you've got staff who've been in different places that are coming back to your group home. So I would just wonder, what you're putting in place in terms of protocol, in terms of them coming back.
Yeah. Lauren and I have been working a lot on that. Lauren, I can have you talk about it if you want.
Yeah. Well, one of the major things that we're very thankful for that kind of came into development yesterday and today is that our Lake County Health Department is going to be providing all of our staff and residents the opportunity to get testing regardless of their symptoms. And so
that's great.
Even if you test negative, you could end up having it later, but so that's a big piece of it. In addition, we're sort of.
So are you gonna wait to bring them back until the results of the test come in?
Yeah, we're gonna try to. Yeah, I'm still waiting to hear how long it's going to take to get the results and how people can access the test, because I was just given the answer a couple hours ago that they would be able to have the test. But yes, that's certainly something we're thinking of, and that's what I hope for.
Yeah.
Also planning out sort of restrictions for safety regarding social distancing and how many people will allow in certain areas and these types of restrictions, gowns, PPE, all these different protocols that we have in place. We're planning it out in phases. So without really a time limit, but we're going to have phase one, which is obviously the most restrictive. And then as we hear throughout that time period, that and we're all feeling healthy and safe, then we'll go to phase two, which is loosens up a little bit, and then phase three. And we also have contingency plans should anyone need to be quarantined and come up with symptoms or test positive after we go back into the homes. And so I'm working on getting it all down on paper and then having our parents, as Jen mentioned, who are very, very involved, agree upon these things because they are you and everybody will be on board if they choose to move their adult child back into our homes because they're going to need to be. One of the biggest deterrents for our families is not having the ability to take them out of the home or come into the home themselves. But I want to plan that they're all ready to come back and be prepared for everybody to come back at once. And so I just am working on a very, hopefully, meticulous plan.
Yeah, and our three homes are very different. So, you know, our largest house or home has apartments. And so, you know, we have a little bit different of a space there and we'll be able to quarantine a little bit differently. And there's a lot of space even in our common area. You know, our second house is not as big and there's four residents living there. So that's gonna look a little bit different. And then our third house has some more multiple needs and we haven't really opened it yet. So we were kind of on a soft open. And so looking at that and how maybe having some staff that live in there and are there throughout that time. So, you know, we've been working together as an adult team to try to figure that out in relationship to our adult day program too and how that's going to look because we know that we probably don't want our residents that are coming back to our homes being part of the day program. So we're looking at doing our own day program within the homes until we know what's going on. But
sounds like you've got a lot of time to plan though because there haven't been people in the home.
Yeah, and we can't really reopen probably till June 1st anyways, so we have this month to kind of do that. That's our stay-at-home order now is till, you know, May 30th. So we have a little bit of time for that, but it will go by quickly, and then we'll know a little bit more information by then.
I wanted to just mention, I forgot to in the beginning, we have made a decision at NJHSA that all of our affinity groups and calls are 50 minutes so that everyone has 10 minutes before their next call at 4. So I just wanted to let you all know that we're going to be ending in around 10 minutes. So if anyone has a topic that they want, I forgot to say that in the beginning, they want to bring up, now's the time.
Yeah, is there anything else anyone else wants to bring up now? Either related to COVID or not?
Well, I can tell you kind of what we're doing here in Dallas. The gentleman who spoke before, we closed down pretty early on March 16th, and we're very fortunate that we haven't had any cases. As you probably read in the news, Texas is opening up tomorrow.
Crazy.
In terms of 25% at restaurants and retail stores. I won't tell you my personal opinion about that, but. Yeah. So it's just what it does is it opens up our staff, right? Because the only link to our residents right now is our staff, our essential staff on the ground. So when things open up in the community, they might participate, which we tell them, we ask them not to, but then of course bring in the virus into the home. So we're concerned about that. We had a management team meeting this morning to talk about, we have 8 group homes with 29 people. To talk about, and we also do programming outside of our group homes, which is shut down as well, about when we're going to be reopening, because the state is really opening, even though in Dallas County, the number of cases has continued to climb every day, and the deaths continue to climb every day. And of course, we work with a vulnerable population, so I think we'll be way behind the curve. But we decided not even to open our office. Our staff is still working from home for at least the next week to kind of see how things go. I'm just putting together an email to our families and our board to let them know of our decision, because I think some businesses in Dallas, you know, nonprofits as well, are opening up. And I just don't think it's safe right now for our, even if we do it in shifts and teams and people are still coming into the office, but in small groups, So it's hard to know what's right. I guess for me, you know, it's just about trusting your gut, about keeping people safe, the people that work for us and the and our residents. So
trusting your gut, though, I don't know what that means. I mean, I think you bring up something really important for everyone to really contemplate. I mean, when we start going back, right, when they start opening up all our states, how do you manage that? Can you mandate your staff not to go out?
No.
You can't.
We can encourage and do whatever we can, but no, you can't mandate. How are you going to know? You can't keep track of it.
You can't legally do that. We had some discussion about that this morning.
Right. So what do people think? I mean, this is really an issue that everyone's going to have to face sooner rather than later, I guess.
I think as the director of a program, I think it's really important to model the kind of behavior that you would like to see from your staff. So even if the governor of a state decides to open it back up, but it's probably not safe really yet. I think the best thing to do would just be to say, well, you know, I'm still being really careful. You know, I'm still ordering groceries for now. You know, I'm still taking the same precautions I was a few weeks ago, because this is not over yet. And we have a responsibility to the people that we serve to keep ourselves safe. So I think modeling what we want to see is probably the best way to go, because we can't tell them what they can and can't do, but you know.
So modeling and educating.
Leading by what we
and do. And we need to make sure that the message gets out there that we want the message to be, and repeat it and repeat it and repeat it. For instance, universal precautions. Let's say that there's a big blood spill. You've got your gloves on, your apron, your face shield, and you're about 80% done cleaning up the blood spill. You know what? It's close enough. I'm going to take my gloves off and my mask off. I'm just going to clean the rest of it with my palms. I mean, take that and compare that against what's happening with COVID-19.
Yeah.
You know, we are absolutely certain that there's no residual. We have to continue these universal precautions. So I'm being a missionary that's a complete zealot with my message about the science and about universal precautions and what we need to do as individuals protecting our seniors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well,
do you have flyers and things like that up all over your facilities? Your
Yes, and we're making a point to take them down after a few days and refresh them, put new ones up in different areas. I mean, we don't want to encourage people to come out of their apartments, but we know that people are coming in, that people are coming out to get exercise at some point. And so we want to keep the message fresh and clean and updated.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it is about, you know, the culture too, right? We want to make sure that our staff feel as though we're trying to protect them too, and that, you know, this is their family and these residents too. And so we want to do everything possible to make sure that they are going to follow the precautions and understand what it means not to be out and about, and if they're coming to work. And, you know, I think it's about the message to them also. Not just you can't do that because, but hey, we want to make sure that, you know, you're safe. And also this is for the residents, and we're here as a community and a family together, and we need to push forward in that way. And I think that's an important piece that we've been talking about with our staff.
Right.
A lot. Yeah. So any other questions or discussions? I think it will be nice. Yeah, go ahead, David.
One last go back, and this is a request to everyone. With HUD buildings, Wi-Fi is not billable, and it's a big expense. So our buildings don't have Wi-Fi. And with everyone sheltered in place, we had to shut our activities down. And what's typically in traditional activities is just, it can't be until this is over. What are you doing at your buildings with your residents to reach out and get through the walls where you don't have Wi-Fi to provide activities, to provide variety and just connection?
I mean, Wi-Fi is a big thing we're using, so.
How about people who don't have, don't have Wi-Fi or residence? What are you doing, if anything? Is anyone doing anything?
I mean, we're buying Sudoku books and puzzle books and coloring and crayons and anything that we can think of, playing cards, and just leaving it in bags on their door handles.
Right, trying to keep them engaged and doing something, exactly. Mm-hmm. Is anyone else doing anything else?
We have our board, we have Wi-Fi, so we're very fortunate because we've bought webcams for everyone, and we do Zoom, we do Zoom and we do dance-a-thons, bingo, we have volunteers doing bingo. We have sing-alongs with all the group homes, so it's really nice. And then our family and our board has agreed to bring send in meals, you know, from restaurants, or games and puzzles. So they're inundated with all kinds of things to do. And then we put them on a schedule, a daily schedule, and they have to go for a walk twice a day in their neighborhood. So we try to get them into some sort of a schedule so that they know what to look forward to, they understand, and they can participate.
So maybe no one else on this call doesn't have Wi-Fi.
Yeah. I mean, everything has been very virtual for us, you know, even within our day programs, and we have all rec activities happening, as well as our residential homes. I have their own programming, right. Morning calls together, and then there's activities during the day, and then they have a nighttime call at night. So that's been, you know, we have community Havdalah on Friday night and Shabbat music. So it's been bringing not only the residential homes together, but our entire community together.
So, you know, you bring up something really important. You could do calls, right? But that might be difficult, you know, conference calls where more than one person can get on, telephone. You could have a current events program. I'm talking to David because they don't have Wi-Fi, but they have telephones. You know, those kinds of things could happen. And I think those kinds of things used to happen before Zoom, right? So we just go old school. You know, it's
I think you could probably spend way less on investing in a conference line. Where it's like professionally set up, where they have like a code that they could put in. I forgot where you are, David. Are you in a rural area?
Chicago.
Oh, okay. I'm sure you guys have probably tried to do this, but a lot of the companies that provide Wi-Fi are offering different programs, especially if you mention the people that you're serving and what the use would be for the Wi-Fi. They might give you some type of special program during this, at least during this COVID time. I'm sure you've probably reached out to some places and maybe they would be willing to support you in some type of a special way. But a conference line could really help you because that would only require, like in the home, people could gather around just one phone, like a good speaker phone, and maybe take part in some type of call activity.
Thank you.
Bernadette, were you going to say something before we get off the phone?
I was going to suggest doing something like Whisper Down the Lane, which is an old school thing. You know, if they all have phones, just kind of start a silly thing like that just to get them talking to each other, you know?
Yeah.
Just calling each other and saying, this is what I heard, just gossiping. But, you know, you start the gossip kind of a thing.
That's fun.
Yeah. So for the next meeting, which I think is in June, am I not mistaken?
I'm looking it up as you talk.
Yeah. I will send out a survey also. So this way we can have a better idea of how to structure the next meeting. So we can kind of get through everyone's ideas and thoughts. But also I'm happy to put in, you guys should have my email. Happy to talk also offline if you have any other ideas too. And I'm excited for this group to kind of come together and really have some discussions around not only the residential, but the Jewish piece of it, which I think is really important because we don't have that large of a group here that we can coordinate with. So, which will be nice. Good luck, everyone.
Stay safe.
stay safe, and we'll be in touch soon.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Take care. Bye.